So Japan, they chased and dropped an 15-yard line. Roquan, the chef, Smith.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClair, he's got Crane 1-2. He did it, he did it.
He's going to get you, trust me.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood. You can follow us on Twitter at TweetJHood and at Chris Black. We are here till 9 o'clock this evening. We'll take your phone calls on the Chicago Bulls and the NBA draft. We're open for business and your calls at 312-332-3776. We'll hear from John Paxson and Gar Foreman in this segment. Jonathan, we have Tales from the Hood in a half an hour. Stories from sports and stuff coming up in about 30 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. We'll also get a report from Jesse Rogers down in Cincinnati.
Sports, entertainment, everything else in between.
Oh, sports. I've got sports and stuff here on the on the script.
That's why I'm not here on Fridays. Let you guys do your sports and stuff.
Sports and stuff.
I thought you had like a little quiz for me as well. I thought you had a little draft quiz. You better do it with me because you won't be able to roll that out on Sunday.
No, I won't.
So you better, I hope you got a little quiz for me, I thought.
Yes, it's called Do You Like the Fit?
If you pardon the expression.
We'll go through the lottery picks from last night's draft. I'm going to ask Jonathan if he likes the fit. The player going to the team, does he like the fit? We'll get to that before we wrap up at 9 o'clock. So a lot to do, Jonathan. In the first hour, we were talking about the Chicago Bulls and this rebuild. And now that the Bulls have a core five selection of two picks from last night, the three players they got from last year, five core pieces going forward, are you happy with the rebuild to this point in the progress of it? Are you happy as a Bulls fan?
I just wish that there was actually a rebuild for us to discuss. We're talking about pieces that were taken away, but it's not a full rebuild. And I think that that's going to hit John Paxson and Gar Foreman right between the eyes. I think it started last night with our draft show and our draft coverage last night. We appreciate everyone listening to our draft coverage. If you've missed it, it's in the archives. Go to ESPN, ESPNChicago.com to see it, or just go to Twitter.com, TweetJHood, or at Chris Black, and you'll be able to hear some of the highlights and lowlights from the draft last night. But I think that they have to understand, like, if you're going to tank, if you're trying to rebuild, you can't do it with three quarters of a house. You got to tear it all the way down to rebuild that house.
Yeah, and if we go back to last season, December 6th, the Bulls were 3-20. After that game, they went on a run of 10-2. Mm-hmm. So at that point, they were 13-22. And the rest of the way out, they played pretty decent basketball, all things considering. Even though they were the 28th team in offensive efficiency last season, they were tied for 29th in true shooting percentage last season. They were 29th in defensive efficiency. So one of the worst teams in the league. But they got the most out of that rag that was wet. They got it what they could out of it, right?
Right.
With the talent that they had, they got what they could out of it, and they got the seventh pick. So we've been asking people at 312-332-3776, are you happy with the rebuild? Do you like the process to this point? Let's go to Matthew near Midway. Matthew, what do you think of the rebuild?
Hey, how are we doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Matt?
Yeah. I'm doing my best to kind of just not care. I'm just tired of these clowns. You guys keep mentioning last year in the talk about the, you know, the rebuild, tanking and the rebuild. I go back 2 years at least, right, where they told us they were going to get young and athletic, and then we found out that they didn't mean it or they forgot. And then this year they said they were going to tank, but somewhere during the season they forgot. And I'm not upset with the seventh pick. He's a decent player. He's the best you were going to do at that spot. I'm just mad that they had the seventh pick. They can't even lose right. I don't know what it's going to take for these, you know, for the ownership to get it through their thick heads that these two clowns are just, it's a perpetual circle. We're stuck in the middle. Even when they try to lose, they can't lose. When they try to win, they can't win. We're just stuck in the middle.
Appreciate the call, Matt.
He's right. Is he not right? I mean,
you can't argue with that.
Because unless they're going to be able to do some retooling here this upcoming season, and why would you do that to Wendell Carter Jr.? Why would you do that to Dunn and Levine? They're going to be in the playoffs again. this is going to happen again. And this is not what they wanted. To me, the rebuild has been accelerated. The draft pick, put the draft aside, Wendell Carter Jr. was the right pick for the right time. It just was. I mean, I could have been sarcastic and told you that Mikal Bridges was probably more of a Bull because he had tread in the tires, because he had, you know, multiple years with Villanova. But they took a guy, freshman, at that played well enough at Duke for them to take. And I think that that was the right deal for them. Now, what does that mean for the organization moving forward?
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. This is Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's go back to last night. John Paxson got a chance to talk with Jonathan and myself and Nick Friedell on our NBA draft show and roast as we broadcasted for 5 hours last night here on ESPN 1000. Let's go back in time and hear from John Paxson, his chat with Jonathan, myself, and Nick Friedell last night on ESPN 1000.
We turn now to the Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Chicago Bulls, John Paxson. He joins us here on ESPN 1000. Welcome, Pax.
Good to be here.
Really enjoyed what you did in the draft. What did you like coming in about Wendell Carter?
When we started studying Wendell, there were a lot of things to like. You know, this is a young man that, you know, he signed at Duke, and he didn't realize at the time that Marvin Bagley was going to reclassify and kind of come in and be more the focal point of that Duke offense. And so I think Wendell, first and foremost, sacrificed a lot this year. But as we got to know him and talk to him, he's the type of kid that was like, all I want to do is do whatever I could to help us win and be a good teammate. And that's who he is. But we think he's got some real upside. But the biggest thing is this, is that, you know, last year when we made the decision to rebuild and we drafted Lowry at 7, you know, you start looking at pieces that might fit well with him. And Lowry's going to need a big physical guy to be alongside of him for his career. You know, our hope tonight is that we drafted, you know, our starting center for the next 10 years. You know, once we, you know, move into this phase, we've got Robin right now, who we absolutely love. And what a great mentor for Wendell to have, because Robin's one of the best teammates we've ever had here. So we liked a lot of things about him. I think that he'll be able, you know, he didn't shoot many college threes this year, but he shot over 40% when he did shoot. He's got a good mechanics. We think he'll be able to step out on the floor enough to space it. And, again, he's just a high-character kid that fits our profile.
Paxson, talking about Carter and Hutchinson up there at the podium, we heard Lowry's name a lot. And I'm just curious, as we move forward now, you mentioned the pairing of Carter and Lowry and how you think it'll work for the future. Do you believe that Lowry can turn into that face of the franchise type guy with what he's already started to do in his rookie year?
Well, you know, I always am reluctant to go to those places, because the player has to earn that by his play and who he is as a teammate. And then, you know, when you start going down that road, you diminish the other guys on the team. And, you know, we have Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine, who are very, very important to what we're trying to do as a team as well. So, but the reality is, when we made the deal last year and we got that pick and we got Lowry, that became the focal point of that deal, you know. So you look at it. And
did you believe that at the time?
No, we didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, that,
you know,
Lowry, I mean, could be that guy?
No, you know, he proved it this year. And so as we went out and we started scouting and we started looking at things, we think Lowry's going to need, you know, a big body alongside of him. And Wendell fits that profile. The thing I loved hearing, listening to Wendell after he was drafted by us tonight, you know, they asked him a couple questions. He talks about how he wants to be a good teammate, set screens for other guys. I mean, he's a real unselfish young man, and I think he's going to fit real well. And the one thing, though, you always have to recognize is that we draft a lot of players often very young. I mean, this is a 19-year-old young man, and sometimes expectations get too high. Like, they, you know, Lowry surprised us. You know, he got the opportunity, and the point I always made about him was I was surprised at what poise that guy played with all last year for us. So you can't put, you know, too many expectations on them. What we ask them to do from day one is to come in and work and build the right habits to fit what we want to do. But Wendell's that type of kid. We'll have no problems there.
How does Chandler fit into Fred's system?
Chandler is a ball-handling wing, a guy that can pass the ball on the move, a guy that can run the floor. In this NBA, you need versatile wings, and we think he can guard several positions. You know, if you if you guys saw the playoffs, how often teams were switching and what that means to a team. And his size at 6'8", his wingspan, that's something we don't have. You know, when we were recently looking at our roster, and, you know, when you're in a rebuild, you try not to think too much about the balance of your roster in terms of positions, that you want to get the most talent you can. But it's obviously a glaring weakness of ours that we don't have wing length. And, you know, so Chandler fit that. And he's the type of player that, you know, he kind of earned his way in college. You know, he wasn't a highly recruited kid. He went to Boise. He didn't play a whole lot, you know, early on. I remember seeing him as a freshman. I was out at a tournament and out on the West Coast, and, you know, you saw this long kid, but he was not really playing much, and you didn't know who he was. But he got better and better. And talking to their staff over the year, that they felt that he just finally embraced who he thought he could be, and all of a sudden the kid blossomed. So we think he's going to, again, we think he's a real good fit.
I know you're not going to say it, but we've said it here on the show. Because of the core that you already have in place, plus what you've done in the draft, you know this team is probably destined for the playoffs. That's probably not what you wanted, though, because you always talk about the process, right?
You guys are already touting playoffs. Let's slow the train down here a little bit.
I know the fact that
well, it's a weak Eastern Conference,
yes.
We see the landscape before us.
It may be much weaker in a couple weeks too.
Well, the train is getting past you.
Yeah,
that's not what you wanted. But look at the core that you have. Don't you think that's a top eight team that you're running?
Let's see. I never want to anoint young players to, you know, all of a sudden they're going to be something. This league is hard.
Dunn and Levine are veterans.
Yeah, they are. They're some of our most veterans. And you know, when you draft like this, you tend to forget certain other guys. And we still have Bobby Portis, who had a terrific year for us. Denzel Valentine, who had some really good times for us. So we feel like we're kind of starting this nice nucleus, and it's young. But look,
it's moving too fast for you.
Well, we're realistic. We know this. In order to win in this league, you need some stars.
Right.
And our hope is that Lowry's going to become one. Our hope is that Zach and Chris Dunn are on that path, you know, as well. And if they are, then we've got something good brewing. But we're going to be patient, and you know, we're going to be disciplined in our approach. I think tonight, kind of, you know, when we look at what we did a year ago and got those three pieces for Jimmy and what we did tonight, I mean, in 1 year's time, we feel like we've gotten five really good young players. And that doesn't happen very often in this business through the draft and through a trade. So we feel good about it.
Now that the draft has passed, one of the biggest question marks for your organization in the next couple weeks is, of course, with Zach LaVine and his contract situation. Do you believe that you can get a deal done before he were to reach an offer sheet, or are you confident in allowing him to play the process out, potentially coming to an agreement with another team, and then allowing yourself the right to match if you so desire?
Well, you know, the restricted free agency business is what it is, and so I do know this, that, you know, we have a real good relationship with Bill Duffy, who is Zach's agent. Bill's one of the best. Gar talked to him in the last couple of weeks and said, let's get through the draft and let's get into the week after and let's sit down and start talking, because we have that opportunity since he's ours. We want to, you know, the way the league is set up, and this is part of the collective bargaining agreement, Zach has the ability to go out and entertain offers. We have the chance to match if he goes out and gets one. But obviously, when we made the trade last year, he was a big part of that. And so we want to continue to move forward, hopefully, with Zach as a part of our team.
That's John Paxson, heard right here on ESPN 1000 last night with myself, Chris Bleck, Jonathan Hood, and Nick Friedell during our NBA draft show, heard right here on ESPN 1000.
Boy, there was Pax grasping at his pearls. It's like, oh, playoffs? Oh, you mean playoffs for us? Like, yes, John, playoffs for you.
Well, I think at first he thought you were being a jerk. And then he realized that we were actually having a real conversation about them being good enough to make the playoffs this year.
I mean, but I love how John tried to push the young agenda out there for us, right? But then you have all these veterans like Lopez and Dunn and LaVine and Holiday. It'll be hard for you to tank with veterans mixed with young players and thinking that you're going to be Orlando or Sacramento. That's just not going to happen.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. About 5 minutes after John Paxson was on with us last night, Gar Forman came over, and here's the conversation with Gar.
We are very pleased at what you guys were able to do in the draft with Wendell Carter. What do you think about the trend in the top of the draft where we're seeing guys that are 6'9", 6'10", the ability to put the ball on the floor, the interchangeable parts of the player? What do you think of the trend, how the NBA has changed?
Well, I think that's what, you know, and you've heard John talk about it during the year. Versatility is so important in today's game, and that's one of the things that we think we got in the two guys we got tonight. I think they're both versatile in their own way. And, you know, in Wendell, versatility in that he's a guy that can play inside and he can step outside and play on the perimeter, which is exciting for us. And Chandler's a guy as a 6'7 wing with a 7'1 wingspan. He's got length and athleticism and the ability, again, to put it on the floor, slash to the basket, a guy that can handle it and pass it some. So I think that's exciting, you know, that they're both versatile. And to get those two guys in positions of need as far as putting our young core together was kind of an added bonus.
Gar, we all understood going back a year ago at this time what this past year would entail in a rebuild season and figuring out where you may land in the lottery. Now that you've drafted Carter, you have Hutchison, you're going to make the decisions you make on Levine in the next couple weeks, and then you fill out the rest of your roster. What will define a successful season next year to you?
Continued growth.
Is that playoffs, though?
No, I wouldn't. We need to where we're at, and again, to me, you're asking about, is continued growth of this young core of players. And
can you see continued growth if you win 32 games again next season?
Yeah, I think you know when you see it, and you know when you don't. And, like, so to me, you know, like, look, you look at Lowry Marketing, and you could see him grow throughout the year, gain confidence, get better. Now you go into an off season, and we look at the work that he's putting in, and you guys probably saw the picture that was on. You just look at his body and how he's getting stronger.
He's not doing anything illegal, is he?
No, absolutely not.
No, so, no, Nick, that's the difference between college and the pros. Now he's with a pro team. Now he can actually work out, right?
Okay. I mean, all right.
That's
all
the difference. Isn't
he's
that
huge.
Gone?
He's huge for those who haven't
seen
the
I'm not trying to be evasive to your question. I mean, you know.
You would never be evasive.
No, I would try to. At this point in a rebuild, you know, we're taking a big picture view of it. And so that's what it's about, continuing to add young players to the core, continuing to see growth with those young players, continuing to have a level of flexibility so that when there are opportunities, we can take advantage of them. And if we do that and stay disciplined in our decision-making, you know, we think we're headed in the right direction. Now we got to keep chipping away and keep adding to it.
How do the two players that you took tonight add to the development for Chris Dunn? What do you see with these two fitting with that young point guard?
Well, and that's one of the things on Wendell. And obviously, you know, he's 19 years old. There's going to be an adjustment for him. He's still a young kid, but that versatility in that, you know, you got a guy who can score at the block. He has shown a developing post game. You know, he's got jump hooks to either hand. He's got a big body that he can use down low. But he can also step out on the floor, and you're not going to be able to camp in the lane. You got to go out with him. He shot, you know, it's a small sample size, but he shot 41% on threes this year. So that shows us that there's an opportunity there where he can play out on the floor. That opens up space. But to us, his skill set and some of the things he does is a nice complement to Lowry, which is exciting for us also. And so when you have two 19, 20-year-old kids or you know, young professionals that have an opportunity to grow together, that's exciting.
Carl, what else do you need for your team? You have young players. Mm-hmm. What else would you like to add?
You know, that's what we'll evaluate, you know, where there's opportunities. But we're always looking, you know, to add length, athleticism, shooting, depth, and, you know, some of that may be answered within the roster, and then that's what we've got to evaluate. Some of that may be, you know, where we've got to go outside of the roster, whether it's free agency or trade, and continue to try to add, whether it's this summer, into next year, into next summer. But, again, keeping that big picture view of where we're at and where we're trying to get.
Are you okay if the Bulls make the playoffs next year?
Absolutely. No, I mean, we're going, you know.
It's not what you I mean, listen, you want to be able to develop young players.
Right.
You hit the reset button. But I think that the acceleration's happening much faster than you thought. because with the veteran players and young players on the roster, they're going to go for it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Nick asked if that's the goal. The goal is growth.
Right.
You know, so with that said, you know, you want to – part of that growth is continuing to try to win at a higher level. You know, how quickly that happens, you don't know. But we want to continue to make progress and move forward.
We mentioned growth and moving forward. Fred enters into next season, mm-hmm. as you know, in the fourth year of his deal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you evaluate what a successful season looks like for him, knowing that he's coming up on the end of his deal here?
Well, I think it's for all of us. You know, that how do we evaluate is like I said, continue to see growth from these young guys and continue to see, you know, a team that gels together, plays hard, plays together each and every night, and competes, you know, each and every night. And those are things, you know, obviously we watch from our players each and every day in practice and games, how they handle situations. You know, so we want to see strides in those type of areas.
Do you believe that a team can grow, though, with the growth if they're not winning a lot of games? I think that's the issue a lot of fans,
right.
they tell us, hey, we want to see a lot of improvement next
right.
season, but if you're not winning that many more games,
right.
can that growth be what you want it to be as an organization?
I think it can if the culture's right and you got the right type of guys. And again, you know, we'd all like to snap our fingers and it happens immediately, but realistically that's not going to happen. So we just want to make sure we're still headed upwards and headed in the right direction. And I think today was a really good step with that to add two more young pieces to our team.
You guys talked about the homework you did on Hutchinson and
yeah.
all the scouting you did. When did it dawn on you guys as an organization that that's the guy you wanted at 22?
Well, I think it dawned on us early that he was going to be a key target for us. And that goes back even early in the season. So, you know, we had an opportunity to evaluate him early and then evaluate him often. You never know if he's going to be if he's even going to be there, you know, until we get on the clock tonight. But he's a guy we knew we were going to have interest in coming into tonight.
Gar Foreman, the general manager for the Bulls, with us on the 2018 NBA Draft on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. How do you assess the growth of Denzel Valentine as a player? I need your scouting glasses.
No,
for this.
I think he made some real progress last year, and you can see it statistically. But you can even see it when you watch him on the floor. I thought he got better defensively, and you know Denzel's not a great athlete. He's a guy who's got to work at it. Mm-hmm. I thought he played with a lot more confidence as far as handling and passing the basketball, and I thought he played with more confidence shooting the basketball, and I thought he became a better decision maker. And I think that showed in his numbers. I think it showed in how we evaluate him. Again, now it's only year two. Mm-hmm. Can we see that type of growth again? And that's why, like with a lot of our young guys, this is a big summer for Denzel, and he's putting in the work, and we hope we'll see him continue to improve.
Gar, one guy who had a huge summer last year and into this season, after the incident with Nico, was, of course, Bobby Portis.
Mm-hmm.
Are you confident that you can get a deal done with him prior to this season's deadline for fourth-year players?
Yeah, I mean, it's conversations we'll have.
Have they started now?
No. We're not allowed to start those until July 1st. But when the time comes, we'll obviously sit down with his reps and talk about the framework of possibly getting a deal done, whether we get it done on an extension early or, you know, the possibility that he goes into restricted free agency. We like Bobby, and we hope Bobby is with our team moving forward.
Is there anything from what you saw in the conference finals, some of the best teams in the league playing, the space and pace, the three-point shooting, anything you saw from the finals, any of these teams that you say, I'd like to add that to my organization? Not necessarily a player, but
yeah.
style.
I was going to say Durant and Curry and those guys.
No, I'm all in on that as well. But a style of play or maybe strategy in-game situations that you'd say, you know, that's something we should look into.
Well, I think that's where the game's evolving, and that's what I, you know, we talked about tonight is continuing to add versatile-type players, players that can do different things on the floor, possibly guard different positions. If you're forced into switching situations, have the ability to switch. Those things are important because I think you're seeing the game played with more pace. I think you're seeing the ability to shoot the three-pointer becoming more important. So those are things that I know Fred and the coaches work at each and every day here at the Advocate Center, but there are things we're looking at also as far as players we add.
That's Gar Forman. We heard him last night with Jonathan Hood, myself, Chris Black, and Nick Friedell on the NBA Draft Show right here on ESPN 1000.
Interesting thoughts from Gar Forman, as you could hear the difference between Gar and Pax when we posed the playoff query.
Yeah.
You know, Pax had wanted nothing to do with it. Like, oh, we're young. And I was pointing out, well, you do have veterans too. And I asked, is the playoffs okay? Yeah, sure. We'd like to be in the playoffs. Two different stories there within 28 minutes of each other. That was the conversation we had with Gar and Pax. So either you're going to have to get on the same page where you are going to go for the playoffs. And actually, it's not even go for it. It's just like the talent's going to just play the best basketball that they can without being pulled away or traded or anything like that. Or you're going to do a rebuild. You're going to have to trade some guys.
Smells like 41-41.
Yeah.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black. Tales from the Hood coming up next.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. You never know what will be in Tales from the Hood, and we've got stories for you brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join Coach Fitz, go Cats, and
go Cats,
the Wildcats for yet another fantastic season. Go to NUSports.com, NUSports.com for tickets.
You and I love college football, Jonathan. Jonathan Hood, Chris Black here on ESPN 1000. Some good teams coming to play Northwestern in Evanston this year.
Including Notre Dame.
Yeah. And Wisco, right?
Yes. So hell's come to breakfast to the Cats. We're going to find out what kind of Cats team it will be, because they have quite the schedule. Looking forward to Notre Dame coming to Evanston. That should be a deal, definitely, in Evanston.
So as we go through the stories, Jonathan, stories of sports and stuff, right?
It's sports, entertainment, everything else in between.
Okay. Do you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay. The New England Journal of Medicine has come across a woman that had a strange lump moving across her face.
For an expression?
It turns out to be a parasite.
Oh.
From a mosquito bite.
Oh.
A mosquito bite on her face that turned into a parasite that started to move under the skin from her eye, right underneath her eye, down her cheek, into her lip. And if you get a chance to look at the picture, look at the fat lip. Look at this lip. Hold on. I'll tilt the screen.
Show me your lip.
Here. Look at this lip. Look at the parasite lip. Look at the lip. Oh, the lip is nasty. Oh, the lip is nasty. Look at that lip. That's a fat lip.
I've seen those lips on The Real Housewives of New York.
Yes, but usually it's the entire lip and not with just one side bulging.
Right. That's so nasty.
The lady is fine because they figured it out. They got rid of the parasite and she is okay. But she had a parasite from a mosquito that bit her in the face. And then the parasite started to move about her face under the skin.
Under the skin? Stories of sports, entertainment, everything else between. That's the name of my new show. It's going to be Under the Skin. Sounds good. Love it. Under the Skin.
Get a promo.
Get a promo going for that. So, Roseanne.
Oh, yeah.
Entire reboot crew, welcome back for a new spinoff. We knew this was going to happen, right, Chris? Good news for everybody who worked on the original reboot of Roseanne. They've all been invited back for a reboot 2.0, except for Roseanne, of course. Sources close to the production tell TMZ, all crew members who worked on the show that got canceled after Barr made her racist comment on Twitter have been contacted about returning to join the Connors spinoff team. Now, here's a question. It's going to be a Roseanne-free version of the Roseanne show we call the Connors.
Okay.
Is she killed off the show? Has she died off the show? How's that work?
Okay, yeah, this is a great point, because the plot line needs to move forward, and you can't just show up and be the Connors, right?
Right.
And just, like, okay, so if she's killed off the show, Do they have the funeral? Like, is that the opening episode?
It's got to be something. And will there be a laugh track while she's in the casket dead, or someone in the casket dead?
Huh.
As we reported, according to TMZ, the Connors is just working, is a working title so far. Filming is expected to begin in late August and early September.
If she's not killed off, what are the other options?
She ran away from the family. She couldn't take it because she was a Trump supporter. No one else in the home was a Trump supporter. So she was just like, I'm out of here in the home of the brave. And she held her crotch, and then she just ran off to, you know, Alabama or Mississippi.
What if she was abducted by aliens?
That's really ABC, isn't it?
How about this? What if she's been undercover as an alien this entire time, living on this planet? So she goes back to her home base.
It's an ABC show, not Fox. It's the Connors, not American Dad.
All right, fine.
Good morning, USA. I've got someone in my attic who says,
hey, look, there's Roseanne.
What is she doing there? She's American Dad.
She's friends with the fish.
Hello, I like to see you. I like to see you naked. Hello.
Sean, do you have a story?
Yes, I do. We go to Grand Junction, Colorado. Court records say a Colorado inmate mistakenly released from jail enjoyed less than 2 hours of freedom before his wife turned him back in. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports James Reinerson was in custody late last month at Mesa County Jail on a $2,000 cash bond while awaiting prosecution on menacing, disorderly conduct, and trespass charges. He was released after Mesa County sheriffs at the jail mistook him for another inmate named Marvin March. The wife saw the band on his arm that had the different name and turned her husband back in 2 hours later.
Oh.
Now that right there is what I call not a ride or die chick. It's not a ride or die chick.
It's tremendous. That's tremendous.
I mean, you're free. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're going right back.
Actually, no, you're not free.
No.
How about that?
Yikes. That is not good. Jonathan, did you see this? Is Chipotle a sponsor?
No.
Okay.
But you can open the door, though.
Okay.
The door open?
Hold on. I got to switch screens. You want to fill while I do this?
So you're listening to Tales from the Hood, our segment we do every night at 8:30 when I'm here on ESPN 1000.
Scrolling.
And we love the door open. I love the door being open.
Welcome.
Oh.
You've got mail.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Oh, very good. Very good.
All right, so Chipotle has not gone through a great period of time of success recently, right?
Yes.
So they're adding elements to their menu. You know, it's a very simple menu. You just go down the line. They got tacos, burritos, a burrito bowl, whatever. Here are the things they're adding to their menu at Chipotle. Tell me what's out of place. Quesadillas. They got all that stuff, right?
Sure.
Nachos.
Sure.
All right. They got the chips. They got the everything there, right? Make some nachos.
Sure.
Avocado tostadas.
Like that.
Yeah, that works, right? And chocolate milkshakes.
Chocolate milkshakes.
At Chipotle. The test stores in New York City will be serving chocolate milkshakes at Chipotle. Do you want a chocolate milkshake to wash down your burrito?
That doesn't sound like a good combination.
Yeah. Little chocolate milkshake to chase down your barbacoa.
As someone that is a great who likes to mix the steak and barbacoa along with the corn,
you like the corn.
Oh, huh? I love the corn. Yes.
A little sour cream.
A little sour cream. I'll do that as well. To have something like that, I mean, what happens is it's like you're ready to just have it flushed out of your system, and then it just bottlenecks with that chocolate shake. Like, how do you put Chipotle in the same mix as it just in your system as a chocolate shake?
That's a recipe for a disaster.
That's exactly what it is, sir.
That's not going to work out well for you.
Kind of bottlenecks right in there, all that. Just like, you know, it's a malfunction at the junction in your digestive system. That's not going to work. All right, I got one more for you.
Welcome. You've got mail.
So, J.R. Smith's NBA Finals Game 1 Meltdown jersey sells for $23,000.
Really?
How much dough would you cough up for a piece of the biggest boneheaded play of 2018? I see it right here. in case you missed it, the bidding started at $620, but things started heating up on the final day of bidding, around $11,000. So now it is up to $23,500 if you want the jersey of J.R. Smith, who did that bonehead thing in game one, really costing the Cavs a victory.
Yeah, I guess if you take one piece of away from that moment, the jersey is what you'd want, right? Or LeBron's shoes, maybe?
LeBron's shoes, yeah.
What about the little towel that LeBron wiped his face with on the bench after he was all upset? When he was going nuts on the bench, he had that little towel wiping his face with the little towels. I've never seen an NBA player with the little towelette on the bench like LeBron. Like, why is he the only player in the league with the little towelette that he's wiping his face with?
Like, you notice that in this playoffs? It's like the towel from the bathroom.
Yeah,
like the
right.
Face towel.
He's the only player in the league with the special towelette.
How much would the ball go for that he refused to shoot?
I would say double.
Yeah, probably.
Got to have double for that.
Right.
To put things in perspective, though, guys, LeBron James, game one threads he wore during the historic 51-point performance, $100,322.
Wow.
How is this available? They just put it out there for consumption?
A guy in the arena finds it. It just finds a way into the backpack.
This is why this stuff gets stolen all the time.
You set out.
Come on now.
Goodbye.
All right, it's Tales from the Hood. Thanks for letting me play Tales for the Hood.
It's always fun.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, it's an original.
8:30 every night on ESPN 1000. That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Bleck. I'm going to ask Jonathan, coming up next, do you like the fit with NBA teams in the lottery? This hour has been brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Over 300 people die each year on Illinois roads as a result of buzzed, drunk, or inebriated driving crashes. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. Jonathan, do you like the fit? It's coming up next on ESPN 1000.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood, Chris Bleck, under the hood for a couple more minutes on ESPN 1000. Jonathan, I want to ask you, do you like the fit? If we go back to last night in the NBA draft, the number one pick, DeAndre Ayton, do you like the fit with the Phoenix Suns?
I do like it. You know, the reason why is because he's the number one pick in the draft. They are starting from the bottom. Ayton, I think, really works out for what Phoenix wants to do.
Number two, Marvin Bagley III. He goes to Sacramento. Do you like the fit?
Do not like the fit with Sacramento. I think that Bagley's a good player, but I just don't know how he fits and really pays dividends for the Sacramento Kings.
The Atlanta Hawks, they took at three Luka Doncic and then traded him to the Mavericks for Trae Young. Do you like Trae Young with the Hawks? Do you like the fit?
That's not going to put butts in seats. Trae Young's got some tremendous numbers out of Oklahoma, but as far as personality and fit for what they want to do, don't know how that fits in Atlanta.
Like, that's going to be the worst team in the league next year, right?
Yes, but they're okay with it. Because they know what a rebuild is.
At four, Memphis, the Grizzlies, they take Jaren Jackson Jr. Do you like the fit?
Solid player for them. I think that it's exactly what you want. Gasol, who knows how long he's going to stay there with Memphis. Jaren Jackson as a building block, sure.
Do you like the fit? The Mavericks, they make the move. They trade for Luka Doncic.
Absolutely. So you could just see how the torches passed from Nowitzki to Doncic. I don't know how great Doncic could be, but I just know that there's a lot of upside with him. I can't wait to see him on the floor so we know for sure.
At six, the Magic. They took Mo Bamba. Do you like the fit?
No, I don't like the Magic. I don't like the fit. It just
seems awkward, right? That's an awkward match.
It's cool that his wingspan is 7'10". But what does that mean for buckets with the Magic?
Well, right. And I think at seven, I think we can both agree we like the fit, Wendell Carter Jr. with the Chicago Bulls.
Absolutely. It fits fine. For a guy that can learn on the job, is 19, he's still a kid, I think he could be a nice, solid player for them, as you mentioned, kind of in a Taj Gibson role.
At eight, the Cleveland Cavaliers, with LeBron or without, they will have Colin Sexton. Do you like the pick?
There's questions about who is the best lead guard in the draft in the top 10. Sexton's going to be better than Trae Young, so Sexton is a fit for Cleveland.
I'm not concerning myself with fans in the stands booing this pick, but at nine, the New York Knicks, they take Kevin Knox. Do you like the fit?
When you need everything besides Porzingis, sure. I think that's fine. Knox is going to be a nice player. Saw him in person with UIC when they played Kentucky. Knox is going to be a nice player. Just can't let New York get in his head.
Let me give you just one more before we wrap up here on the show. Number 14, the end of the lottery. The Nuggets, they take Michael Porter Jr. Do you like the fit?
Yeah, sure. I like the fit because it's really 70-30. 70% that he stays healthy, 30% maybe not. The back is something serious. The back can lead into the hip. That can lead into the knees. Hopefully, for his sake, he can stay healthy and could be a steal the draft for the Nuggets.
Well, look at it this way. They should have been a playoff team last year. And sure, if this guy turns out, now they've got a really nice piece to add with the core they have.
Hopefully, they'll be that Porter can be their Donovan Mitchell in this draft.
That's Jonathan Hood. I'm Chris Black. Thanks for listening to the show. Check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago page and at the ESPN app. Jonathan, when can we hear you next?
Tomorrow night, hear JD and I after baseball around 6:30 p.m., 6:30 to 11. And don't forget also Sunday 3 to 6. So we'll be on all weekend here on ESPN 1000.
I'll be listening. I'll talk to you on Sunday at 8 a.m. Thanks for listening on ESPN 1000.